I sent you all this week, and I know kind of some of you said it couldn't get it or whatever, but our policy, proposed policy statement on marriage, sexuality, and gender, as well as a wedding policy of perimeter. The wedding policy really has sort of come out of dealing and addressing the marriage, sexuality, and gender, which primarily came from ADF, right? Is that right? American Alliance Defending Freedom. Thank you. For Alliance Defending Freedom, but came out of that on the marriage, sexuality, and gender. And so what would like to do now, there's about four copies on each table. You're welcome. One side is the statement on the gender, and the other side is on wedding policy. What we're going to do is I'm going to let Randy kind of just give us a brief summary of it, and then we're going to open it up to questions. And let me ask you to do this because the EMT is going to be voting on this later tonight. If indeed you have questions, I thought, you know, words do matter. And I know sometimes we may have to address some words, but let's try, if much as possible, we'll try not to get too deep in the weeds here. If we can get the big picture, that would help us. But you're welcome to ask questions after he summarizes. And Drew, I'm going to let you handle, where are you? Oh, can you get the mic back? And you'll handle this side of the room, and I'll handle this side of the room if indeed you guys have questions, okay? So I'm going to turn over to Randy and
get his thanks, going. Bob. How many of you have not had the opportunity yet to read this? Raise your hand if you've not read it. Okay, just a very few. So for you that don't, who've not read it, go ahead and grab it, read it now, and I'm not going to read through it. Since you've already had that opportunity, I think the main thing to note is that next, or the third to the last paragraph on statement of marriage, gender, and sexuality side. Go to that side, and the third to the end, it says, "We believe that in order to preserve the function and integrity of Perimeter Church as a local body of Christ, to provide a biblical role model to Perimeter members and the community, it's imperative that all persons employed by Perimeter Church and all persons who serve as an officer of Perimeter Church agree to and abide by this statement of marriage, gender, and sexuality." So that's where we're coming to the application to us here. We feel like we would all be in support of that, but we want to hear, you know, everyone's thoughts certainly there. The last paragraph, I just cannot underscore enough. We believe that every person must be afforded compassion, love, kindness, respect, and dignity. Hateful and harassing behavior or attitudes directed toward any individual are to be repudiated and not in accord with Scripture nor the doctrines of Perimeter Church. And so our attitudes, you know, are very, very critical in this whole issue. As you look at the wedding guidelines, just so you'll be aware, some of you might not know, but up to this point, we have been open to anyone in the community being able to use our facility. We just think it's a service. God's given us this, you know, great property and opportunity. It's, if it's available, they can't use it or book it until 5 months prior. They 5 months or less. So that gives our members the opportunity to have first choice on it. But then we know it's probably going to be open. Why not let others use it? And obviously, as all of this court stuff came out and so forth, it's a new ball game now, and we have to look at it. We have wrestled with, you know, how can we be as generous as we can possibly be, as loving, as kind, as giving, but at the same time, we have to make sure that we're protecting the church. And, you know, it's one thing to be able to win a legal suit right now. It's another to have to go into one. And, you know, we just think we've got to be very, very careful there. So I won't walk into how all those implications come out. But if you just look there, you'll see that our present policy now is certainly all of our members, children and grandchildren of Perimeter Church. And any party who's, if one of the people get married is a member of a PCA church. Now, one of the things that is important here is that that we have some other things that we're not going to bring to you here, but about, well, you know, what about the people who come and how do we know where they are and so forth, and even from another church? Well, we are very, very safe in the PCA having other PCA members. And so because people have to be members, you got the question, well, who's a member and all that? So we have some other guidelines, things we're working on for that. But we think these are the most important things right here that we put before you, let you see, and ask any questions. So we're going to take any questions that you might have now and then about this right here. And then we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about some of the hard questions that we're going to be facing and some of the challenges in pastoring as it will relate to sexuality. And not just in pastoring, but as being, you know, being Christians with family members who are homosexual and maybe marriage is taking place. So we'll address some of those tougher issues too, okay? But let's first see about this right here. Are there any questions, comments, inputs that you would like to give as relate to what you've just read? All right, John?
I'm a little confused by the end of the wedding guideline where okay. It starts out, in such event, the party or parties who are not current members. I'm confused as to who that really applies to. And, well, first answer that, and then I think I have a follow-up question.
Well, if you've got a grandchild, let's say, or child of a member who gets to, it doesn't mean that their to-be spouse is a member. So that's who we're talking about, someone who is not.
Okay, so we're talking about one, two, and three applies to one party, but the one they're marrying.
Right.
So it applies to them.
Correct, and we have something for them to get approved from their church, their pastor to sign, and to give us that we're marrying people with this same policy understanding. Yeah.
Okay, so they have to sign a statement of agreement with the statement on marriage, gender, and sexuality.
Correct.
But none of the others have to sign that.
The
members, the ones that are members.
No, they do too. Every person does. There's one for our members and there's one for other people.
Okay.
So they will all sign.
I would think that would be part of this, that it doesn't say that.
You know, I was actually surprised we didn't have it too, but
I didn't attach that. I just, you know, sorry, my fault, but
when I came here, I thought it was all here and we just talked and said, no, it didn't get run off. So we said, okay. But there is a statement for both. They have to sign it, get their pastor to sign it if they're not from here. So it's a great covering of everybody.
Okay, so everybody married in this facility will have signed that agreement.
Yeah, and Philip would tell us now that his team certainly appreciates that because it's been a hard call for them to know who and what and all. It's been this is going to tighten this up a whole lot and help them a lot as well. So, right, Philip? And your team, Philip, is he's over all of our, you know, weddings and so forth. So all are good here, right? Yeah, your team good, all right? Good question, John. Anybody else question here? Yeah,
Yeah, Randy, the statement on marriage, gender, and sexuality, does this be part of membership materials now? Will this be part of?
No.
No, okay.
No. No. Now, I'm not saying it won't be included for them to read, but it's not a requirement that someone has to sign something with this in it as a membership.
So I don't have to agree to this?
Not as a member, no.
Okay.
Not to join the church. Huh? That's not true?
Our membership material, everything in that statement, we'll be adding to the membership class for some specific examples that reference that. So what people go through in terms of our beliefs and philosophy and standards, that's covered in the membership class today. And then the membership covenant that they sign references back to those same beliefs. So what they are agreeing to those as they go through the membership process and sign the membership covenant.
You mentioned making chapel available to the public. It wasn't clear. Are we going to stop that?
Correct. We have to stop that.
Okay. So another option would be that anybody from a different church would have to sign these two statements.
Yeah, this gets into a real challenging thing because we're finding most of the churches and that we're being really inundated with people coming from churches that don't even have membership. They don't even, it's just,
And then they can say, well, I am, and I get somebody to say, we just think that's it's a challenge.
It's one of the three criteria. Or,
yeah, so it's limited to that. Yes. The question there was, if we're opening it, we were opening it up to everybody in the past. And so what you're saying, Mac, your basic question was,
are we stopping it?
And I said, yes, we're no longer having anyone able to come and get their marriage here. And then the question was, well, why? And it was because so many churches don't even have membership. It's just a tough thing now to figure out. Yeah. PCA does require membership, so that makes it very easy.
Tom?
When I think about marriage, I think we would agree we want men and women to be getting married. I mean, I think of it as almost a common grace. It's a gift from God to all of us, Christian or non-Christian. And I feel like as a church, we want to encourage that, even if it looks different than the marriage that we might agree to move into. And it feels like that we are not supporting the institution of marriage in the way that maybe we ought to be. Christian or not Christian, we want to encourage men and women to marry and to start families for the good of the community. And we're shutting our doors to that over is it a legal issue or is it?
It is a very, very legal issue. And what we do is we either open the door to all or we have to close it to only our own within the faith. I mean, you can't partially open and say, well, you are having a relationship man-to-man. And these non-Christians, you know, they're marrying, you know, male and female. And once we say you can, but you can't, and make that, whereas what we're doing now protects us from that.
And by the way, we are not saying if you have two non-believers, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're not saying if we have two non-believers saying, hey, we want to get married somewhere away from here, and they're two non-believers, it's not saying that a perimeter pastor can't do that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, we're still, I mean, I've done numbers of weddings, civil ceremonies for non-Christians. So, I mean, it doesn't limit us from that in terms of outside of perimeter.
John?
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the question about membership, and Dan, your answer. I don't think that now when someone joins the church, they're agreeing with all of our positions on everything. They're only agreeing with the specifics. I mean, we narrowed that down to, you know, what it means to be a Christian and you're supporting the purity and peace of the church and so forth. So I don't think they'll be agreeing that they agree with this document to join the church.
I was about to say, I was going to ask Dan because my view is a little bit the same, that they have our position, they know what we believe in, but they don't have to sign a document as far as this is a thing that I, because a lot of the non-Christians, as I see it, come in and they need to mature in order to understand and be able to embrace the position. So I think we just let them know our position and they need to be aware of that. Is that not correct, Dan?
You're correct.
Okay, so there's no signing of a commitment to this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's get a microphone over here. Have we got one, Bob?
Dan, and then we'll go over.
All right, we'll get Dan first and then get a mic. Yeah.
So I don't want to dive into an awkward conversation, but I do feel like this is kind of forcing some of that, is the question around the wonderfully and immutably God creating each person as male or female. And I would say probably 99.99% of the time, that's a pretty clear-cut line, but there are some people that I think as a result of the fall are born with options, if you can phrase it that way. And so I'm just curious as to how the conversation has been had around what's the church's stance around hermaphrodites, people that have been born with, you know, either none or multiple sexual organs. This seems to draw a pretty hard line. And I would say I agree with that line 99%+ of the time. But there is some of that gray area, and what do we as a church do with that?
Well, I'll just speak from my perspective on that. I have never thought of that. And when that comes up, I guess we'll deal with it. But I don't think we want to address that in this thing, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it is 99.99, and, you know, I think rather than get in and debate that, I don't know, but we didn't even address it. That hasn't been talked about. But
on
I could address
point,
my opinion, by the way, on that, but I don't think that's our team has not talked about it, so I don't want to address that from that. Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about that, but one of the first things I wrote down is transgender. It's a big issue. People born, man, I'm not comfortable with my skin. I want to be a chick. You know that.
Well, we think this is covered there. I think this is. I think that's covered here. Natural born, yeah. So that's covered.
Hey, Randy.
All right, yes, over here.
Yeah, just to clarify the line on membership a little bit more, you know, we would not take a cohabiting...
Can y'all hear this?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Would not take a cohabiting heterosexual couple into membership.
Mm-mm.
Likewise, I'm assuming, although it's not stated here, we would not take a practicing homosexual couple.
Yeah.
And it's...
That's
the
code,
practice
yeah.
And not, well, it doesn't mention membership here. It only says officers and employees.
Yeah, I wish we'd have had our other pages here because
yeah.
it is covered. Anybody who's getting
yeah.
married, that's
okay.
very clear and covered. They have
okay.
to sign. So that is very much taken
yeah.
care
and
of.
It's not the tendency. It's the practice.
Yeah. Okay. Correct. And it would be the same with heterosexual activity. So all of that's covered. Any sin, sexual sin outside, or any sexual sin. So, yeah. All right. Others? Okay. Can we get a microphone here?
This might be a minor point, but I think we've talked a little bit earlier that words matter, and the position that we take is based upon biblical reference. So this is a minor point, and I agree, but I'm bringing it up. In the fourth paragraph, we talk about God's offer of redemption, restoration, and seeking mercy and forgiveness. And I double-checked the references, and the last of the references, the 1 Corinthians, seems to me not to address that point. It seems to me that the 1 Corinthians reference is more about this is God's position on these matters, and another reference might be a stronger reference to talk about mercy, forgiveness, and redemption and restoration.
All right, good point. Dan, you taking that down?
I would just offer
good point.
That the one that came to mind as I was reading and checking on this was the passage from John 8, where he talks about if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Okay. And that might be something that, because I think it's important that we back up what we say with some specifics.
Very good. Very good. Very helpful. Yep. Okay.
I just got one quick one on the wedding guidelines, and it's the third sentence. And it just, coming from who this is intended to be written to, it says, God created man in his image, male and female. And then it goes on to say, you know, there's natural born and natural born. But if I was a man that's a trans, you know, change my sex, then, hey, I'm covered. So you may want to change that to God created people.
Oh, okay. I got you.
In his image. Because they look like they contradict.
Yeah.
I know what it means, but
yep. Okay,
if I'm
good.
That way, you may not.
Dan, you got that? All right. Good.
Again, not wanting to get picky, but... on the statement in marriage, gender, and sexuality, the first paragraph, the last phrase says, rejection of one's biological sex. And I'm not exactly sure who this document is intended to reach, but someone who's homosexual would probably say, well, I didn't reject this. This is just the way I was born. So I don't know if that is applicable at all, but it just kind of stood out to me.
Okay, we'll take note of that. Thanks.
Just to be clear, from an elder interviewing potential new members, this question may come up in the interview, or a question related to this may come up in the interview. Will the script of our interview change any? Will we just reference the church's statement on this? Is this going to be part of the membership?
So
they'll already see this and be aware of it before they come in.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be updated. We already have this, but we're
right.
going to update it in our manual, right, Dan?
Yes, there'll be examples in the membership
Well, in the membership class,
yeah,
where we go over created in God's image, we reference the issue of the sanctity of human life there in an example, and we'll add an example that talks about this issue. Just so be exposed to it.
Good. Others? I got us.
Bray. Bray.
The ADF puts out good stuff, but have we had a Georgia attorney review this?
Have we had a Georgia attorney review this? You said not yet. Okay.
Mm-mm.
You mean a UGA attorney? What? Oh, Bert, please.
You know, if we had a Georgia guy, you know, you really can't put this in three sentences. So we're gonna have to push beyond. But that's, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bert.
Hey, Randy. Regarding the pastor, I know
somebody show me where we're coming from. I don't see who we are.
Drew is with you.
All right.
Regarding the pastors that officiate the service, I know we have guest pastors from, you know, outside sometimes. Does a perimeter pastor have to be part of the team?
No.
Or and who vets the pastor himself or herself?
Well, it'll come out of a PCA only, so we don't have to do that. They've been vetted by the PCA, so we're good with any PCA pastor.
Okay, and then does the couple have to have premarital counseling?
It is required that they have premarital.
Okay. And then finally, this is just kind of a, something to think about before you finalize it, that the hateful and harassing, you know, hate is such a volatile word these days. I mean, if you preach out of Romans 1, you hate somebody. You know, you mm-hmm. disagree with somebody, you hate somebody. So you might think about, since you've already stated, we believe that every person must be afforded compassion, love, et cetera, you might ask whether or not that second sentence could be used as a club against us. So,
okay. Thought. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Get a mic.
Clay Cooksey, can you mind getting Clay right there? Right. He's right, second table right here. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
And then I'm going to let this, unless there's something really critical, afterwards come and let's make it known. I want to watch our time, but Clay?
So I'm just curious. I mean, there's been a lot of suggestions and things to take note and, I guess, looking at updates. So when the EMT is going to vote mm-hmm. tonight, what exactly are they voting on?
This right here, what you're seeing. That's what we're voting on. We'll take your info. We'll take your input.
Okay.
Discuss it. Come up with what we decide, and then it'll be voted then.
Okay.
So we just want all of your inputs before we go into that so that we can correct it and hone it as much as possible to make it. So, yeah.
Okay.
If we can't get it done tonight, we'll do it the next. But, I mean, that's the plan. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good.
Now, I had asked Randy if I could ask him a few questions. And this first question, by the way, is something I've run into three times so far this year with you all, and that is, what is our position? Do we have a position or your thoughts about us getting invited to weddings, gay weddings?
Yep. So. And I've been asked that numerous times by some of you, in fact, and asking my opinion. And we do not have a position from the church. And I'm glad we don't have a position. I don't think we should have a position from the church on that. Here is my counsel. I say, number one, if it were me being invited to a niece's wedding that's going to be a homosexual wedding, I would go. My opinion is I want to do everything I can to embrace a relationship, to keep an opening, to show if nothing else, a perceived love, and it is a love. I hope the fact that I would be doing that for the right reason. But I would do it because I would have no conscience binding personally. That doesn't mean that someone else might have a conscience bind to it, and if so, they should not go. I know this, nothing in the scripture says
if two practicing homosexuals choose to get married and they get married, don't go to their wedding. Nothing says that. We can come to an implication that I shouldn't go, but I'm not going to put that on somebody else, and vice versa. So I'd say this. I would say my thought would be I want to do every single thing I can do to show love until we realize I just can't do it. There's a good, strong reason that I have a conscience against doing it. I have to be honest, when we came to this whole thing, I was the guy who was saying, I say let everybody who cares what happened? Let them come to our church. Let's keep making a statement, And the more we walked down that aisle, the thing was, I came to the conclusion, you know what? That's not a wise thing. We shouldn't do that. But my bent is always start with what is the most gracious and open thing and then come back to where you know your heart is and what God would have you to do and then obey at that point. And then don't point a finger at somebody else who has a different opinion because the scripture really doesn't speak directly to it. Maybe in some people's mind indirectly, but not directly.
I have an actual situation like that. And the concern that I have is that for most of us, our friends know that we have a position within the church.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that I may be asked to extend some type of a blessing upon the couple. Now I'm involved. Now I'm not just there as friends of the family and trying to keep an open door so that I can continue to have conversations for who knows what the future. Now that puts a slightly different complexion on it, I think.
Well, if it were my opinion and what he's saying, could everybody hear? All right. In my opinion, yeah. You go to the wedding, and you may not be asked to give a blessing. Chances are, if I went to a wedding, I wouldn't be asked, even though I'm a pastor, to give a blessing. I don't know where that would come, but if it did happen, I have the right to say, that's something I don't... Now, there my conscience is bound. I can't do that. If my conscience were bound on that, I'd say, hey, I can't do that. I just can't do it. And so be it. Now, I think you probably wouldn't be in any worse condition if you said, I'm not coming to your wedding because I'm against what you're doing, or they knew that were the case. So to me, I just say I would stop where my conscience says stop. Don't ever pass where you feel you just can't go there. And whatever the consequences, live with them very loudly.
So most of us here are laymen.
Oh, laymen.
So, our presence would, some could say would be endorsing it. You say you would go, but I think you're saying you wouldn't officiate.
No, I would not officiate. No.
So what's the difference?
Huh?
So what's the difference?
I'm not allowed. I don't think, I'm now, here's where you come to the blessing. Now I think I am putting in a position where I am actually participating to the point of uniting them. My conscience would say I can't do that. If my conscience said you can't go to the wedding, I wouldn't go to the wedding. But that wouldn't bind my conscience. I would to do the marriage ceremony, but it wouldn't to go to the wedding. Plus, I'm not allowed to by my credentials anyway. I can't do that. Wouldn't be allowed. Yeah.
Officiating or not, personally, I would make it a point of letting my niece or whoever know how I feel in a loving way.
Correct.
But it could be used by someone else who's there as getting out of control and saying, Randy Pope was there from Perimeter at a same-sex marriage, and they must really be changing their way. And I guess that's where, from a conscious point of view, some of us have that real...
If that be the case, then for you, I wouldn't go. But, you could do the same thing to say, hey, somebody saw Randy Pope taking a liquor of some sort. I'm drinking. Therefore, he's approving and he's thinking. Now, I know that's not something that the Bible says is wrong. But you can always come to a place where you have to say, God says, if you feel you're going to be a stumbling block, then there is a reason not to do it. But that doesn't mean that anybody who ever thinks, and if that were the case, Christians would never be able to drink. It'd be no one can drink because you are a stumbling block if you do. And because you could be at any time. But God doesn't forbid doing that just because it could be. If I feel I'm being a stumbling block and I'm aware of that, then I would say, okay, now I understand. If I'm really making this younger Christian stumble, and that'd be something I'd have to look at as an exception. Yeah. Good point.
Okay. Bob? I'm going to go ahead and let me ask you a question. This has been on my mind. Can an Alabama and an Auburn graduate marry each other?
I'm going to have to think about that one. I will say this. My conscience wouldn't allow me to go to it. Okay. Oh, man. Just thought I meant to say this, but we were already into the other subject matter. This Sunday is communion. And I want you men, if you would, be praying. I want this to be the most special communion that our church has ever had. And that's the way I'm looking at it. I have been working and working and thinking, how do you make it clear what really happens when someone comes to the table? And, you know, many of you know, I am just passionate about the table. I just think it's so, and I don't think that's where most people in church are today, thinking this is that big. And so that is what I hope to be able to communicate, and that we might experience it in a way we never have. So I want you just to be praying about that, if you would. And then keep in mind that we've got Express Your Faith. We've got a large group coming, starts tomorrow night and Saturday morning. So, and I hope you guys, I know it's late for you to get into it now, but if you have not been through Express, please, as I've been preparing and working on this thing, getting ready for this weekend, I just look at it and I say, oh, God, we've got people who aren't introducing people to Christ, who are even in our leadership and staff. And that's okay if you are aggressively seeking and asking and so forth, but if it's linked to the fact that you really don't have a plan, you don't know how you would do it if you did have an opportunity, then I say, oh, you got to get trained. Get the tools. So be praying for it regardless, and make sure you come, if not this time, next time. This is a really important time that we all get equipped well. Okay? Thanks, Bob.
And let me say this regarding communion. I would encourage elders and deacons as well, call or email. Email your shepherding group and say, we got communion, all church communion this weekend. I want to encourage you to be here. Take the Lord's table. And we're believing it's going to be a real special time. So let me encourage you to do that with your people. Lastly, I want to let you know this, that we also have a funeral policy here at the church. And we met recently to come with this policy. And the policy that we've come to is that we are only going to do funerals here at Perimeter Church for members and member families, okay? And you would ask, why is that? You would not believe the number of requests that we have now to do funerals and memorial services here at Perimeter, and it is, you know, I might not say this may be a stretch, but it's killing our resources to be able to, I didn't mean that as a joke, but I mean hurting our resources, there you go. So that's where we're at right now in terms of members and member families. So if indeed you have a grandfather die, we will do that funeral. If you have a brother or sister, that's fine. But in terms of people just out in the community or not associated with Perimeter Church at all, we're just saying no. And so I'm letting you know that in case you have a neighbor, they die and you say they're looking for a church. Just be aware of that. Don't say, yeah, you can use Perimeter. Okay? We've had more funerals this year in Perimeter Church than we've ever had, and that's probably going to get even greater as we go through the years. But right now, it's just member and member families. And so just want to make you aware of that in terms of our funeral policy. Okay? Thank you, guys. See you next month.